عليه وعلى آله وسلم. She heard the Jew greet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this filthy greeting. When she heard it, she became emotional. But the emotions that she displayed was the afifa that is from the religion. And she also was overtaken with the hamiya. And the hamiya is when you want to protect something. But the protection or this hamiya that she had was the religious hamiya for her husband, who was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said from behind the hijab, when she heard them say what they would greet him with, she said, "And also death be unto you, you brothers of monkeys and swine." The Shaykh, he went on to say, look at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her. Rasulullah prevented her from dealing with the people in that way. He prevented and prohibited her from this. He said, look at who he prevented her from dealing in this way. And they are the Jews. And the Jews, as we all know, they are the enemies of the Rasul. They are the enemies of all of the Prophets and the Messengers. They were well known to be the assassinators and the murderers of Prophets and Messengers. That's their history. They are well known to be the people who spread mischief in the earth. They are well known to be the sha'b, or the people, the qawm, the people who are the most akhbath, or the most filthy group of people who we know. But in spite of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered Aisha to be fair and just, to have insaf and to have adl. This is our religion, to be fair and just. Allah said in the Quran, do not allow a people's oppression towards you to cause you to be oppressive, but have al-adl. This is closer to a taqwa. So do not allow a people's oppression towards you to make you be oppressive, but be just. This is closer to a taqwa. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said to Aisha when he heard her response to the Jews, O Aisha, verily softness, easiness, leniency, it was never put inside of anything except it embellished it and it beautified it. And this leniency, this softness, this kindness, it was never taken out of anything except that it made it ugly. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, didn't you hear what they said to you? He said, I heard what they said. And didn't you hear what I said back to them? I gave them the same answer and the same response that they dealt with me. So, mercy, softness, kindness is never put inside of anything except that it embellishes it and it beautifies it, and it's never taken outside of anything except that it makes it ugly. The Shaykh said, this is the one who has been sent as a mercy to all of the world. He was a mercy that was sent to his companions. He was a mercy that was sent to all of the members of his community. He was a mercy that was sent to the animals in the way that he dealt with them. And he was a mercy even with the jamadat, the objects that have no life as we know it. He was a mercy sent to the objects that have no life even. He said, how was he sent as a mercy to objects that have no life? He said, I remind you of the hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to give his khutbah on top of a tree, the trunk of a tree. It was used as the mimbar. And then he had one of his companions to make a proper mimbar. So when the proper mimbar was made, he discarded the trunk and he put it to the side, and it was still in the masjid, it was still over there. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got on top of the mimbar that was new, and he began to give the khutbah. And while he was on the mimbar, they began to hear the moaning of the trunk of the tree. All of the people can hear the tree moaning because the tree desired to be with Rasulullah. The tree missed the presence of the Prophet and being used by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though it was from the objects that have no life, it started to moan and to make the sound as if it was a child who was in need of its mother. The mother and the child needs the hanun of the mother, or the way that the mother calms the child down when the child is crying. The way that the child needs the mercy of the child, of the mother. The Sheikh said so. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon witnessing that and hearing this thing that doesn't have any life in front of the people, he got off of his minbar and he walked over to the trunk of the tree and he hugged the trunk of the tree, and then the trunk of the tree began to get quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter until finally the moaning subsided. So the Sheikh said, this is the call and the teaching and the training of the one who was sent as a rahmah to all of the worlds. And then he sent salutations of peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ومن فوائد هذه الآية فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. أن الدعوة إلى الله لا تقوم إلا على أمرين: عبر عنهما العلماء بألفاظ مختلفة، بهما أرسل الرحمة للعالمين، ألا وهما التعليم والتزكية. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. ماذا يعمل؟ ماذا يفعل؟ ما هي وظيفته؟ هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. إذن الرسول بعث بالتعليم، تعليم الكتاب والسنة وتزكية النفوس بالكتاب والسنة. وبعض العلماء يقولون التخلية قبل التحلية. التخلية يعني إفراغ المحل من مفاسده ليصبح قابلا لمنافعه، إفراغ النفس من شرورها وسيئات أعمالها لتصبح مكانا قابلا للخير، وهو ما عبر عنه شيخنا الألباني عليه سحائب الرحمة بقوله التصفية والتربية. التصفية والتربية، أي لابد أن نتعلم الإسلام صافيا بعقيدته وأخلاقه ومنهجه وسلوكه وسياسته صافيا كما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم نطبقه وندعو الناس لتطبيقه كما طبقه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ماذا يقول الله في هذه الآية؟ فبما رحمة من الله، الرحمة موجودة. لماذا وجدت الرحمة في قلب محمد؟ لأن قلب محمد فارغ من أضداد الرحمة. ولو كنت فظا، فالفظاظة لا تلتقي مع الرحمة. ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب، لو كان قلبك غليظا لا يلتقي مع الرحمة. إذن قلبك يا محمد فارغ من الفظاظة، فارغ من الغلظة، فارغ من شرور النفس، فقبل رحمة الله. فإذا أردت يا عبد الله أن تكون من أولئك الراحمون، من أولئك الراحمين الذين يرحمهم الله، ففرغ نفسك من شرورها، فرغ نفسك من أعمال السيئة. لذلك تأملوا يا أحبتي في الله، محمد بن عبد الله يقول في كل خطبة من خطبه المسمى خطبة الحاجة: ونعوذ بالله من ماذا يستعيذ الرسول؟ ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. فنسأل الله أن يعيذنا وإياكم وإخواننا المسلمين والمسلمات من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا.
After this ikhwan, we return back to mentioning the benefits of this ayat that we're dealing with from Surah Ali Imran. One of the benefits that we get from the ayat, in addition to what has already preceded, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ, from this ayat we understand that the da'wah in Allah, that when we call to Allah Azza wa Jalla, we give da'wah. The da'wah to Allah has to be based upon two things. And the ulama of Al-Islam, they have explained these two things with different words, but all of the explanations, they are united. One of the words that they use in mentioning these two things is, the da'wah in Allah has to be based upon at-ta'leem and at-tazkiyah, teaching, and as well as at-tazkiyah, or training. Allah mentioned this concept in the Quran. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah said He is the one who has sent the messenger or the prophet to the Ummiyin, the illiterate. Allah is the one who has sent His messenger to the illiterate people. He reads to them His ayat and He purifies them. He reads to them His ayat and He purifies them. And even though before this they were in clear manifest error. So the Shaykh went on to say that the job of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based upon this ayat, his job was to teach the people the ayat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He was sent as a mu'allim to give the ta'leem. At-ta'leem wa tazkiyah. He taught them the kitab and the sunnah. And he was also sent to purify them, to make the tazkiyah. And he purified them, or their souls, the tazkiyah to nafs, he purified it with the kitab and the sunnah. So that's one of the ways that the ulama describe this issue. The two affairs that have to be present in the da'wah is at-ta'leem and at-tazkiyah. Another way that some of the scholars mentioned the same thing, the two things that have to be present, and even though they are two different words, the concept is the same. It is what the Shaykh termed at-tahliya, before the tahleed. The tahliya. He went on to explain what is the meaning of at-tahliya. These two words are different from the first one, at-ta'leem and tazkiyah, but the meaning is the same, they're together. He said at-tahliya is what? He said is when you purify the place. You're trying to give da'wah, so you have to get rid of all of the things that are in that place that will be counterproductive to your da'wah growing. You won't be able to plant the seeds to bring your da'wah to fruition until you get rid of all of the issues that are present. For an example, he said the nafs, the person you're giving the da'wah to. It can be the environment or it can be the person. If you're trying to give a person da'wah, you have to get out of his mind, out of his being, those things that will prevent the da'wah from growing. Like, you have to get rid of the shurur, the evils that are within himself. So that when you come with the da'wah, you will find a person or a place ready to accept what you're trying to give to them. And this is what our Shaykh Al-Albani used to always say. He used another term to mention this concept, at-ta'leem wa tazkiyah. And then the Shaykh said some of the ulama, they used the word at-takhliya and the takhleed. And he said that Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to describe this as at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. And even though they're different in terminology, they are the same in meaning and application. What is at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah? It is being upon the Islam that is pure and unpolluted and undiluted, having the Islamic and the proper aqidah, having the akhlaq, having the minhaj that is correct, and the saluk or the behavior of the Muslim, and the politics and understanding or the siyasa of al-Islam that is pure, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once you have this, then you'll find that the people will be able to practice and apply, and then they'll be able to call the creation to it as well. So we want to make this point clear from the ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and because of the mercy of Allah, because of the rahmah from Allah, you were soft with them, Ya Muhammad. If you were rough and tough, if you were coarse and harsh-hearted, they would have dispersed from amongst you. This is the concept that we get from this ayah of at-takhliya. Ya Muhammad, if you had inside of you those things that are counterproductive to your dawah being effective, they would have went against you. For an example, if you were rough and tough, if this was inside of you, this behavior pattern, you're rough and tough, then your dawah would not have been effective. But you have to get out of yourself all of those things that are against what will make your dawah be effective. So therefore, ikhwan, if we want to be from the rahimeen, if we want to be from those people who are merciful so that Allah can have mercy upon us, then you have to make it your business to get out of your nafs those things that are counterproductive to having rahmah and showing rahmah. And there are a lot of things, and they all come under the umbrella of the shurur of the heart, the evils, plural, the evils of the heart. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every Friday, he used to say all the time in what is known as the khutbatul hajah, he used to seek refuge in Allah. And what did he seek refuge in Allah from? He used to seek refuge in Allah by saying, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our souls and from the evil results of our actions. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh said, to make us all successful in getting out of ourselves those things that are counterproductive to the rahmah coming inside of us. And may He allow us to be of those people who are merciful to the creation so that He will have mercy upon us.
ومن فوائد هذه الآية وفوائدها عديدة كثيرة أن الرحمة من أهم صفات المرسلين ومن أهم صفات ورثة الأنبياء من العلماء والدعاة. يقول الرب تبارك وتعالى ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. الرسول داعي إلى الله، ورثته العلماء دعاة إلى الله، ووظيفة المرسلين ومهمة الدعاء إلى الله أن يدخلوا الناس في دين الله، أن يدعو الناس إلى دين الله، أن يسوس الناس لمنهج الله. فحتى يدخل الناس في دين الله أفواجا لابد أن يكون الرسول ويكون العالم ويكون الداعي إلى الله رحيما بالناس، لأنه لو لم يكن كذلك لم فض أي هرب الناس عنه وتركوه قائما، لانفضوا من حولك. إذن فأعظم سبب من أسباب نجاح الداعي إلى الله أن يكون رحيما بالناس، شفوقا على الناس، رؤوفا بالناس، يدعوهم إلى الله بالرحمة، يدعوهم إلى الله بالرأفة، يدعوهم إلى الله بالشفقة عليهم. فإذا رأى الناس أنك ترحمهم، أنك تشفق عليهم، أنك ترأف بهم، سيقولون في أنفسهم لماذا هذا يحرص علينا وهو لم يطلب منا مالا، لماذا هذا يحرص علينا ولم يطلب منا أجرا، لماذا يحرص علينا وهو لا يريد أن يكون سيدا أو ملكا أو أميرا أو شيخا علينا. إذن هو يبتغي في دعوته وجه الله، فهذا دليل صدقه ودليل نصحه. فاستجيبوا يا عباد الله لداعي الله، استجيبوا يا عباد الله لداعي الله، فعندئذ ترى الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا على يد من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين.
From the benefits, Ikhwan, from this ayah, and the benefits from the ayah are many, the Sheikh said, is that we understand from this ayah that having rahmah, being an individual who is merciful, is from the most important characteristics that the mursaleen were upon. And in addition to the mursaleen, the anbiya and the rusul, it is one of the most important characteristics that the inheritors of the anbiya have to be upon, from the ulama and the dua. Allah said in the ayah, and if you were rough and tough, coarse, harsh-hearted, they would have dispersed from amongst you. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a da'i ila Allah. He calls to Allah. And those people who have inherited his knowledge, they are also du'at or callers in Allah. So their function, their wadifa, their job and their responsibility, what is it? Their job is to cause the people, by Allah's permission, to enter into the religion of Islam. That's their job. To be a reason, by Allah's permission, that people come into the religion. That has to be remembered. That's the job of the du'at ila Allah. Therefore, that's the function in their job. They have to call the people to Allah and to the religion in a way with mercy. They call the people to the deen. And they, yususun nas, they're responsible for the siyas and the politics and the life of the people. And they have to do this according to the minhaj of Allah. They call to the minhaj of Allah until the people enter into the deen of Allah afwajin, in droves and in great multitudes and numbers. If they're merciful to the people, and they're patient and they persevere in their efforts, they will find positive results. But if they are rough and tough, by the text that we're dealing with today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, if you were rough, tough, harsh, they would have dispersed from amongst you. If you give dawah like this, then the people are going to escape from you and they're going to run away and they're going to leave you standing by yourself. As the ayah said, لَمْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have run away and they would have left you. So the successful da'i and the success in the dawah is for the one who is calling to be raheem, to call with rahmah, and to be ra'uf, to be kind and gentle with the people, and to have shafaqah, or to be very gentle and kind-hearted towards the people that he's dealing with. If you give dawah with rahmah and shafaqah, then it's going to have some positive results as we will see in the ayat of the Quran. If the people who you are calling see and they witness from you this rahmah and this ra'fa, this mercy, and they see that you are ra'uf and you're easy with dealing with them, they're going to ask themselves, why is this individual paying so much attention to us? Why is this individual going through all of these changes and he's not asking us for any ajr, for any reward or award? Why is this individual dealing with us in this nice, kind, soft way, and it's clear he doesn't want to be an emir over us, he doesn't want to be the sheikh who's over us, he doesn't want to be the sayyid or the master or the leader who's over us, everything has to come from him. The sheikh said that people will start to say, clearly this man wants the wajh of Allah. He wants us to enter into the religion. It's not for him that he's dealing with us like that, and that's why he has this rahman, this ra'fa, and he's easy with us. This is a dalil of his truthfulness or his sitq. The sheikh said to you brothers, he said, so answer the call, ibadullah, of the da'i, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told us, answer the call, istajibu, the call of the da'i, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we answer the call of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he gave da'wah to the people who were his opponents, we will see, as Allah said in the Quran, and when you see the people entering into the religion in droves, as a result of the methodology that Rasulullah had in giving da'wah ilallah.
ومن فوائد هذه الآية أن وجود الرحمة في الدعوة، الدعوة التي تقوم على الرحمة، هذه الرحمة من عناصر خلود الدعوة، ومن عناصر استمرارها، ومن عناصر انتشارها. ووجود الرحمة في الدعوة ليس دليلا على ضعفها أو تفريطها أو أنها دعوة مميعة. الإسلام دين خالد، والقرآن كتاب خالد، وأمة محمد آخر الأمم وخير الأمم وأفضل الأمم. لما استحق هذه الأمة أن تكون خير أمة أخرجت للناس؟ لما استحق هذا الدين أن يكون الدين الخالد، أن يكون الدين الخالد؟ لما استحق كتاب الله؟ إنه قائم على الرحمة.
Can someone from the sponsor side open that door over there so we can get some air in this place? The Sheikh said from the benefits from this ayah as well is the fact that ar-Rahmah, having mercy, is from the anasif, or from the reason why the da'wah of al-Islam will be continued, and it will have the khulud, it will have istimrar and the khulud and the intishar. Ar-Rahmah, when you give da'wah ila Allah with rahmah, because of this rahmah that you're giving da'wah with, the da'wah will be permanent, and the da'wah will spread, and it will be perpetual as well. The Sheikh said we should understand that using rahmah and having rahmah, it is not a dalil, it's not a proof of weakness or tamyir, not a proof of being soft. No, this is not how we should understand that. But rahmah is an effective means by which the da'wah will be perpetual and continuing, it will be established. Al-Islam is the deen that is khalid, it will remain. And the book of Allah is the book that will remain, and it's khalid. And the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last ummah, and it is the best ummah. The Shaykh asked, why is it? And it's a rhetorical question. Why is it? By what right is this ummah the best of the ummahs? And by which right is the deen of al-Islam going to remain? And by which right, why is it the book of Allah is going to remain and it's the last book? He said, because all of them are built upon this concept of rahmah.
وهذه الآية تدل يا أحبتي على أن الرحمة في قلب الداعي إلى الله من أسباب ثباته على دينه، ومن أعظم تميزه في منهجه، ومن أدل الدلائل على وضوح منهجه. فلو زالت الجبال ما زال، ولو خذله جميع الناس ما بدل وما تغير، لأنه يسير على خطى الرحمة التي بعثها الله رحمة للعالمين. وسأضرب لكم مثالا من حياة أصحاب النبي. رجل هو أفضل الناس بعد الأنبياء، رجل صحب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من يوم بعثته إلى يوم وفاته، ما غير ما بدل. رجل صدق الرسول عندما كذبه الناس، رجل نصر الرسول عندما خذله الناس. إنه الصديق الأكبر أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. كان أبو بكر مشهورا بلينه، مشهور بتواضعه، مشهورا بتواضعه، مشهورا برحمته، حتى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: أرحم أمتي. من هو؟ أرحم أمتي بأمتي. من؟ أبو بكر. أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر. انظروا إلى أبي بكر. أبو بكر المعروف بلينه، بتواضعه، بخفض جناحه، الذي ينظر إليه ينظر أنه هذا رجل ضعيف، رجل مسكين. عندما وقعت الفتن وحمي الوطيس كان هو في مقدمة أصحاب الرسول، يذب عن دين الله ويحارب أعداء الله ولا يداهن أحدا ولا يمثل أبو بكر. فجاء الصحابة يحاورون أبا بكر: يا أبا بكر ارجع جيش أسامة، لأن الدولة الإسلامية الآن في مهب الريح، في مهب العاصف، قد اجتمعت قبائل العرب على حربنا. ماذا يقول أبو بكر؟ ما كنت لأحل لواء عقده رسول الله، ما كنت أن أحل لواء عقده رسول الله، لأن رسول الله مات ويقول: أنفذوا بعث أسامة. ثم يقول: انظروا إلى أبي بكر، والله لو جرت الكلاب بأمهات المؤمنين ما حللت لواء عقده الله، عقده رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Okay, Ikhwan al-Sheikh, he was finishing up and he said from the ayat that, or this ayat that we're dealing with, we come to this very important point, and that is that it is a proof that the rahmah, when it is in the heart of a person who is giving da'wah ilallah, if he is a person who possesses rahmah, the rahmah is one of the strongest reasons and one of the main causes to make him, that will make him establish upon his deen, will give him the thabat ala deen. He said, when ar-rahma is in the heart of the da'i, of the Muslim, of the one who's calling to al-Islam, then the rahma that is in his heart is from one of the clearest proofs about his deen and his application of his deen and the minhaj that he is upon. Even if the mountains were to dissipate and they were to rent asunder all around him, he would still remain firm upon his deen and his position. Even if all of the people forsook him and went against him, they weren't with him and they weren't on his side, because of this rahmah and wanting the people to come to the religion, the Shaykh said, لَمْ يُغَيِّرْ وَلَمْ يُبَدِّلْ. He won't change his position, nor would he be flaky upon his position. But what he'll continue to do he'll continue to sail upon that current of having rahmah, dealing with people with this rahmah. He said, I can give you a number of examples, but I just want to give you an example from the life of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallama. And the example that we want to talk about is a man who is the best person after the Anbiya and the Rasul. He is a man who accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the very first day that he was sent, and he was there by his side all the way to the time that he died. And that individual never changed his position, nor did he get, or nor was he flaky in the positions that he took. He believed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the people disbelieved. He supported the truth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the people forsook the truth. And that individual is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, as you all know, and for your information, those who don't know, he was well known for being a person who was easy, a person who was lenient, a person who was merciful, a person who was humble. He was a companion of humility. He was well known for being a person who would lower the wings of humility around those people who he knew, to the point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him, and he said about Abu Bakr and his character, he said, the most merciful of my ummah, upon my ummah, the most merciful person from my ummah, upon my ummah, or as it relates to my ummah, is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So here we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving us a characteristic describing for us the reality of Abu Bakr, and that he was a merciful individual, the most merciful individual. If a person looked at Abu Bakr the way he was, it was easy for you to say, this is a miskeen person, this is a da'if person. Oh, poor Abu Bakr, look at him. He's poor, he's miskeen, look at how he looks. The Shaykh said, but because of this rahmah that he had, it helped him to be established upon the religion. When the fitna came and the wind of adversity began to blow, we find that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had the most mercy towards the ummah. We find that he was in the forefront of all of the companions in defending the deen, in fighting against the opponent. He was not a person who used to bite his tongue, nor did he make an mudahana. And mudahana is when you just go with the people just to be okay with the people. He didn't have that. He would never accept and embrace the concept of the religion being down at the expense of what was wrong being up and over the religion. He was a person who stood with the sabat for the deen. The example that we want to share with you is the incident that happened with Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before his death, he sent an army out to go to Rome, to Sham, to fight the Romans. And on the head of the army as the Amir, he made Usama ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And then the Prophet died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the tribe, or before the army arrived to its destination. They hadn't been sent up until that point, and Rasul, he died. So the companions, they all came to Abu Bakr and they tried to convince him, and they started to say, ya Abu Bakr, don't send the army. It is not a good idea to send the army, because the Dawla, the Islamic State right now, we are in a position of weakness right now. We're in the middle of a whirlwind. The Awasif are all around us. All of the tribes, they are about to pounce upon us. And if the army goes out, then that's going to make us even weaker. So don't send the people, Abu Bakr. Don't send the army. We need them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said to all of those people, and he is the most merciful of the ummah towards the ummah. He knows what's beneficial and what's not beneficial better than everyone else. He said, I will never untie a knot that was tied by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will never bring down a liwa. I will never bring down the flag. The flag of jihad is getting ready to go forth because the Rasul sent it forth. I'll never come and lower it and bring it down. I'm not going to do something like that. They continued to try to convince him. Abu Bakr, you can't do it like this. Problem, Abu Bakr swore by Allah to give them a further indication of his sabat by swearing by Allah, and he said, Wallahi, even if the dog came and they were trying to get at the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah, the army goes out and now the dogs can come and get them. Wallahi, I would never untie the knot that was tied by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he subsequently sent the army, even though he had the most rahmah for the people.
Yursilu Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu jaysh Usama tanfidhan liwasiyyati Rasulillah صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكرم الله أبا بكر بنصر مبين على الروم وبنصر مؤزر مبين على الذين حاولوا أن يهدوا وأن يضعفوا وأن يغيروا على أصحاب رسول الله في مدينة رسول الله ويأتيه عمر رضي الله عنه الفاروق وقد جيش الجيوش لحرب المرتدين فيقول له عمر يا أبا بكر إنهم يقولون لا إله إلا الله فكيف تقاتل قوما يقولون لا إله إلا الله فلا يزال الخيران رضي الله عنهما أبو بكر وعمر في سجال وفي نقاش وانظروا يا أخواني إلى خلق أصحاب الرسول الصديق والفاروق اختلفوا في مسألة ما هي هذه المسألة من أعظم المسائل وهي حرب أهل الردة الفاروق يقول لا نقاتلهم لا نحاربهم إنهم يقولون لا إله إلا الله والصديق يقول سأحاربهم لأنهم نقضوا عهد رسول الله فهل يدخلون في صراع داخلي؟ هل يصبح الصديق يطعن في الفاروق ويصبح الفاروق يطعن في الصديق ويتفرق الصف الإسلامي من داخله ويشمت أعداء الله بهم يتناقشون نقاشا علميا ويتحاورون حوارا أدبيا تملأه الرحمة ويملأه الحرص على دعوة الإسلام وعلى أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقول عمر ما زلت أحاوره حتى شرح الله صدري لما شرح الله به صدر أبي بكر لأنهم ابتغوا الحق وابتغوا العدل وابتغوا الإنصاف فوفقهم الله أبو بكر يقول والله انظروا لا يعطي الدنية في دينه في مثقيل الذر يا أخواني لأنه ثبت على الإسلام وعرف قيمة الإسلام والله لو منعوني أي منعني المرتدون عقالا مثل هذا والعقال ما يربط به الشاه أو عناقا يعني شاة صغيرة سخلة والله لو منعوني عقالا أو عناقا كانوا يؤدونها لرسول الله لقاتلتهم من دونه أرحم الأمة بالأمة يتحول في الفتنة التي تريد أن تجهض الدعوة تريد أن تضعف الدعوة تريد أن تدمر الدعوة يتحول بفضل ثباته على المنهج بسبب الرحمة التي امتلأ قلبه إلى أسد هصور يدب عن دين الله ويدب عن سنة رسول الله ويجالد أعداء الله في الخارج والداخل وهكذا تنتصر الدعوات التي حملها رجال رحماء فيما بينهم رجال لا يريدون أن يشمت بهم أعداء الله رجال عرفوا أن قوتهم في تعاونهم على البر والتقوى أسأل الله العلي العظيم بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا أن يحشرني وإياكم في لواء من خاطبه ربه بقوله فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله توكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين وأن يحشرني وإياكم في زمرة من قال الله فيهم محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الشيخ أبو أسامة عز الله منزلته في الصالحين إن شاء الله تعالى. He completed what he was saying, Ikhwan, by saying from the last discussion to complete it, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu subsequently sent the army of Usama ibn Zayd. And he did that in an attempt to execute the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who commanded and instructed that the army of Usama be sent forth to Asham before his death. So Abu Bakr followed to a T the instruction of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of that, Allah ta'ala, he gave the ikram to Abu Bakr. He honored Abu Bakr in that decision that was extremely wise. He helped him with a nasr that was mubeen, and they defeated the Romans in that particular battle. Not only did they defeat the Romans outside of Al-Medina, but they also defeated the people who were in and around Medina, who when the army was sent, they knew the strength of the Muslims. So the clear victory, it was twofold. The defeat of the Romans, as well as the people who were around Medina, who had any inkling or idea of pouncing upon the Muslims. Another example, Ikhwan, and it's one just as important, is with what happened between Umar radiallahu anhu al-Faruq. Umar, he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when Abu Bakr was the leader and there were a group of people who apostated from the religion. They were called the Murtadin. And Abu Bakr declared war against them because they didn't want to give the money for the zakat. Abu Bakr alone, who was the most merciful of the ummah to the ummah, he said, as the leader, we're going to fight those people. Umar radiallahu anhu came to Abu Bakr and they started to have a discussion, a debate. They started to research an issue between themselves. They had ikhtilaf between themselves. Abu Bakr felt that these people should be fought and he was the leader. And Umar al-Faruq, he felt they shouldn't be fought. So he came and he said, oh Abu Bakr, how are you going to fight these people who are Muslims because they say La ilaha illallah? How are you going to wage war against them and fight them? So we find that these two companions, As-Siddiq and Al-Faruq, both of them have exalted positions in the religion. They continue to debate and discuss with each other. Now I want you brothers to pay attention, the Sheikh said. He said, you have to pay attention now. He said, here we have the Siddiq and his opponent, or the one on the other side who disagrees with him, is Al-Faruq. And yet we find them having ikhtilaf. And what's the issue that they were having ikhtilaf about? They were having ikhtilaf about one of the greatest issues that you can possibly have ikhtilaf in. And that is fighting and killing some other people. Some Muslims. People who have apostated. Blood is going to be spilled. It's a big issue, a serious issue. But we find the akhlaq and the adab, the way these two people had differences in this tremendous issue, was different from the way we find the people having ikhtilaf today. Faruq, he said, we can't kill those people. They say La ilaha illallah. That's my position. I have proof for what I'm saying. They're saying La ilaha illallah. They're Muslims. You can't kill them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no. They have broke the contract that they agreed with Allah and His Messenger, and that is, you have to pay the money. So what happened was, they continue to have this discussion. Now I ask you, do we find one of the two throwing the other one outside of Al-Islam? Do we find one of the two talking bad about the other one because he doesn't agree with his position? Do we find them allowing the ranks of the Muslims to split so that the enemies of their da'wah will look at them and then have what is known as shamata? Anytime evil befalls you, they're happy that it befalls you. The Shaykh said, this is not what we find from As-Siddiq and the Farooq when they had this ikhtilaf and this discussion. But instead we see them having a niqash, a discussion that is ilmiyah. He has a position, he has a position. What's your position? What's my position? And then we deal with the issue like that. And they continue to have this muhawara or this discussion with adab and with rahmah between them. They had it with rahmah because they had the hirf on the da'wah and for the da'wah and for al-Islam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said about this scholastic discussion with As-Siddiq. Al-Faruq said about this scholastic discussion that he had a different opinion with As-Siddiq. He said, I continue to try to debate with him and to change his mind until Allah opened my breath to the position of Abu Bakr and I understood what he was saying. The Shaykh said this came as a result of the training that they had and the application of Ar-Rahmah. This came as a result of them wanting the haq. Both of them wanted the haq, so they were more apt to deal with each other in a way that was respectful. Both of them wanted the haq, so they had insaf. It was more easier for them to apply into practice being fair and just. As for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who had his position, and he didn't take his position based on haughtiness and arrogance, but Abu Bakr, he said, wallahi, I will not allow the religion to take the diniyah, to take the lower part, and the batin is over the religion. He said, I wouldn't allow this in the religion of Allah. The Shaykh said, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wanted the sabat on al-Islam. He told the people, I swear by Allah, these people who left the religion, if they refuse to give me just one, this thing that he has on his head is called uqal, if they refuse to give that in zakat, the man who should give it, if he doesn't give it to me, I'm going to fight him. He said that this thing is used to tie up the animal, whether it's a sheep or whatever, used to tie it around the foot of the animal so he couldn't escape. If this small thing, if they say religiously we're not giving this to you, I'm going to fight them. And if they refuse to give me one sheep that they should give in zakat, I'm going to fight them. That's my position. This was the position of the most merciful member of this community. He had the most mercy towards this community. This was his position. And they had this discussion between themselves. He had this discussion with the one who was the second best person to this community. And we see their discussion was with respect because they wanted the truth and their methodology proved that they wanted the truth. And the other thing I want to point to you is, look at the sabat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this is the whole point of the Shaykh. The rahmah in the heart of the da'i gives him sabat on the haq. The rahmah that he uses with the person, don't think that it's soft, it's da'if. It gives the da'i a sabat in his religion, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is the way we describe him. But yet, when the time came to get busy, Abu Bakr became a ferocious lion in defense of the da'wah, in defense of the deen. He defended the deen, he defended the sunnah, he repelled the enemy from within and from without, the internal and the external enemy. This is the way of the men of this ummah, the people who call to al-Islam with this rahmah and with this knowledge and with this care and this concern for the ummah and what brings the benefit to the ummah, not the ones who they don't look at the affairs like that. They are the men who they don't like for the shamata to be with the enemies of al-Islam. And the shamata, again, it is when evil befalls the believers, people get happy. Anytime an evil befalls you, their people will get happy as a result of that evil. These people knew Abu Bakr and Umar. They knew that their power and their strength, part of it comes as a result of mutually cooperating on al-birr wa taqwa. These are the people who Allah has mentioned in the Quran, and because of the rahmah from Allah, you were easy with them If you were rough, they would have dispersed from amongst you. So the Shaykh went on to make a number of dua, a lot of dua for us, asking Allah to make us from those people. And he ended by asking Allah to also make us of those people who practice the rahmah that Allah said in the Quran. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those people who are with him, they are rough and tough against the kuffar, and they are merciful between themselves. And he made a number of dua for all of us.